really are dredging up a lot of stuff that we don't want dredged up, but it's good, it's open, it's exciting, and we're learning a lot.
As the journey develops, I see our group really fine-tuning some of the things that we talked about in week one and really looking closer at our relationships with our parents, our relationships with our spouses, our relationships with each other, and just how our actions have affected those relationships.
Our whole group was kind of surprised that someone went into so much detail and put so much effort into making a game for us to play for the series, and we had a lot of fun with it. It was cool. We had like different dynamics. We had, for some of the cards that were like, you're funny, which is like, you have to do something really funny, we were cracking up hysterically. And then for some of the cards that were more deep, we almost like started crying. So it was pretty cool how much like the dynamics of it.
I've already learned some things about myself that are kind of like aha moments, as Oprah would say. So that's been really cool, but at the same time, I've already experienced some growth. I found that I got a lot of work to do on me.
I'm so excited. Already I feel like there is a new part of me that's emerging, a freer part of me that's emerging. So looking ahead, I'm just so excited. I'm just savoring each chapter and each experience with my group.
The ID series is, you know, it in some ways is what I expected, and in some ways it really isn't. I knew that it would open up some doors that I had closed off, and it would open up some doors to everyone in our group that they had closed off. Those doors seem to have some similarities. We all seem to have kind of similar issues with something that happened in our childhood. The events are different, but the reaction's kind of pretty similar.
I'm a coach. I'm a host. I'm in a group. I went home and went through every picture of me since I was created, and so I feel like I've got a whole lot of ID going on and a little freaked out because there are parts of me that I saw in picture and in person that I try not to think about or talk about, especially with strangers 2 to 3 times a week and on camera in front of 50,000 of my closest friends I don't know. So it's going to be an interesting ride.
Hey, let's pull up the lights in here a little bit, Kelly, just so we can put those things together. It's kind of like multi-sensory overload, offering basket, checks, you know, ID tags. You know, so if you haven't done that or you dropped them on the ground, you can go get that. We'll keep them lights up for about a minute or so for you to put together. We're going to use that in a little bit. I'm really, really excited about today. Let me tell you why. Because today, we're going to turn a corner. We're going to turn a corner in our ID journey. And not only are we going to turn a corner, but some of us are going to burst into this new reality that you never knew existed and you never thought you'd experience. And I guess I just broke one of the rules of a communicator. You always want to kind of manage expectations, not have people expecting too much. So that's actually going to be pretty bad today. But it's going to be cool. And let's ask that happens right now. God, I ask that today you would show up in our lives in a profound and significant way, and you'd break through the clutter, break through the cobwebs, break through the deceptions that we've been living under, and bring us to a new place today. And I ask that my words would be clear, and most importantly, they'd be your words that you would approve of and you would want used. And help my heart to be in tune with you and with where people are in here today. I ask for great things today. In your name I pray. Amen. One of the weeks in the ID journey a few weeks ago talked about some of the things I believed about myself and some of the things that have been part of my identity. And one of those things was this belief that I don't measure up. That I don't measure up. When you don't feel like you don't measure up, it brings things to you like a level of stress when good things are happening because you think, oh no, I don't measure up. It's going to all fall down around me. Or something good happens to you and you have a level of guilt that you feel because you feel I don't measure up, so I shouldn't have gotten that. And so it's sort of a growth thing for me just to talk about something really neat that happened with me recently. We went on a really cool spring break trip a few weeks ago. And it was really neat, and we were able to do it because my kids have always had their spring break trip over Easter. somewhere in that time frame. And Easter is to preachers as April 14th is to accountants. So me trying to get away around Easter has always been a very difficult, not going to happen kind of thing. So this year it was okay. Did it. And one of the reasons, as I mentioned, I don't know, a couple months ago, we've been really financially tight is because we've been trying to put money away into this trip. And so we finally went away a couple weeks ago, and it was really, really neat. We went to one of these places, never been before, one of these all-inclusive, pay one price, get everything kind of trips. Anyone ever done one of those? One of those all-inclusive, pay everything. That really wild. One price, and it gets you everything. Your clothing, your rooming, your television, your bicycle, your kayak, your sailboat, your food, your drinks, every kind of drink you think of, all for one price. They give you this little bracelet, this ID bracelet. It's kind of your identity. And it tells you, you get to have all these things. And someone said, hey, was it good? Was it worth it? And here's my counsel to you. It is great if you are a fat alcoholic on a budget. It is absolutely fantastic. It's like, fine, bring me another hamburger. I'll take another hamburger. It's all paid for. Yeah, fine. Give me another drink. Give me another, you know, it's because it doesn't matter. It's all paid for. So you feel like I'm indebted to eat and drink as much as I possibly can have. Our kids never had so many virgin strawberry daiquiris in their lives. Seriously, the first day they had 10. Each one had like 10 of them. And then the next day they were all sick and they didn't have another one for the rest of the whole week because they totally were OD'd on the thing. While we were there, one of my kids had a friend that was staying in one of the other places somewhere along the beach. And we didn't know exactly which one. So we went down and we got on a bike and we figured out, oh, we'll just kind of go down and try to figure out which one they're in. We'll just kind of go in and see which one they're checked into. So we got on the bike, headed down, and we would turn into the new driveway to the new hotel or the hotel that was there. And it was the same thing every time. Some guy would come out from some little shack or from behind some chair or table and said, ho, who are you? Who are you? Because he was looking to see if our bracelets, our identification gave us access to that place. And all those places have different bracelets, different colors, different looks. And, of course, they saw ours, a blue one, and this blue one was only this one resort that we were at, and it wouldn't go into any other one. So we'd have to have this long conversation of, no, we're not trying to mooch in on your food here. We got plenty of food where we are. We're just trying to come to the front desk and see if we can find this particular family if they're checked in here because we want to hook up. And we have to have this long kind of bartering back and forth. And most of the time they would let us in. I'd sometimes have to leave my wallet behind just as sort of collateral. And it was interesting, and going in this place from place to place to place, we could get access into these places, but we couldn't have the fullness of all these places unless we had the proper identification. And today we're talking about how to get a brand new ID, brand new identification. And up to this point on our journey, you could have gotten what we've talked about virtually anywhere. You could have gotten what we've been talked about at a good counselor. You could have gotten what we've talked about so far at a therapist. You could have gotten what we've talked about by watching a few Oprah Winfrey shows. You could have gotten what we've talked about, you know, with Dr. Phil. I haven't seen Dr. Phil, but from what I understand, kind of straight-talking guy looking into your past. And there's value in all of those things, and there's been great value in what we've done the last 3 weeks, digging into our past, noticing the things that have hurt us, noticing the things that have shaped our reality. You can go to a number of different disciplines, and it'll come to a place where it can help you. But today is where Dr. Phil leaves the building today. Today, Dr. Phil goes away, and because today, and for the rest of the next 2 weeks, I guarantee you're not going to hear what you hear today on Dr. Phil, Oprah, your therapist, your counselor. Dr. Phil, go away. Time for you to leave. Leave the building, Dr. Phil. Time for you to away. Bye-bye. Go away. In fact, you're not going to hear this at a lot of churches. You're not going to hear this at a lot of people who believe in Bibles and carry Bibles. I've been a part of just about every kind of church I can think of, and this is something that either isn't talked about or isn't believed. We're going to deal with today. And even some people believe it, but they don't talk about it. I've been part of so many different churches and Christian organizations since I've been walking with Christ 20-some years. I've been a part of mainline major denominations. I've been a part of independent churches. I've been a part of liberal churches. I've been a part of conservative churches. I've been a part of contemporary churches. I've been a part of traditional churches. I've been a part of groups that are charismatic, groups that are Pentecostal, groups that are Anglican, groups that are, you know, all these different. And yet this thing, it's kind of like buried treasure that no one talks about, but it's so obvious if you take a look at the life of Jesus. You know, it's where we got to go on our ID journey today. Jesus has this interaction with this guy that probably would be like the interaction he would have with many of us. This guy's named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus comes to him at nighttime. It's where Nick at Night started. Nick at Night comes to Jesus. And John chapter 3. And here's what happens. This guy Nicodemus is respected. He's successful in his field, which is the field of religion, spirituality. He's got power. He's got authority. People think highly of him. And yet, he hears what Jesus is doing and sees what he is doing. And he senses that there's a different place where he needs to go and be a part of. And so he comes to Jesus under nightfall to ask him some spiritual questions and get some help. And here's what Jesus says to him, John 3, chapter 3. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Now this verse is a verse that's very misunderstood, but it's also very quoted. We see it with people holding, you must be born again, or this verse at football games, or probably one on the basketball game on Monday night. Somebody probably have this sign someplace somewhere. And for the longest time in my journey with God, I believe what this was talking about was how I needed or anybody needed to get to heaven. And that is not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God includes heaven, but it is not heaven. We've given a whole series on this in the past where the kingdom of God comes against what people understood at that time was the overall pervasive influence in the entire world, which was the kingdom of Rome. The kingdom of Rome was all of defined reality. It was the transportation system. It was the economic system. It was everything. And so when Jesus talks about kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, he is communicating to people, I am coming to bring about a revolution that comes against all known reality to bring it under the rule of God. And I'm coming to break into your world and have your whole defining reality be about God. And I'm calling you to revolution, a revolution of the entire world and a revolution inside of your life, a brief turning. He's not saying, let me tell you how to get to heaven. He's not saying, let me tell you how to get your bracelet so you get into heaven. He's not saying you must be born again in order to have your bus pass to heaven. That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about Nicodemus, I want to give a total overhaul, new start to your life. In order to have this, me involve your life, God involve your life, a total through and through, you've got to be born again. Fresh start. New ID. How many people in here ever decided to get born? Anybody here ever decided to get born? No, none of us in here physically ever decided to get born. It just sort of happened. There was something that happened. And this is what happens when you get a new identification, a new ID, a new birth. There is something that happens that you can't really control, but it happens to you. This is not an admonition for us to get eternal fire insurance. I used to think that Jesus was sort of like the cosmic American Express card. Jesus Christ, don't leave earth without him. That's not what he was about. He came to impact our life right now and deal with our life, and it affects eternity. But that's what he was about. And he said, and there's got to be something that happens to you you can't control. Something that happens to you you can't control. Now Nicodemus, here's this. And if you start to understand what I'm saying, you're not going to like it. And Nicodemus doesn't like it either. Here's what he says. He said, how can anyone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Nicodemus is not dumb. He understands teaching metaphors. He's not saying, oh, you're kidding me. How do I climb back into my mother's birth canal? I'm too big. I can't get... He's not saying that. He understands exactly what Jesus is saying, and he understands he doesn't like it. He's saying, you're telling me I got to start all over? You're telling me everything I've believed up to this point, everything that I've done up to this point has got to go away? How in the world do you expect me, who has attained success, who's attained all kinds of accolades for where I am right now, to start over, a brand new beginning? I'm not asking for that, Jesus. I'm asking for just a few spiritual principles to get me through. This is the way many of us feel. We feel like, you know, I'm understandably flawed and just in need of a few helpful spiritual principles. That's all I really need. I got some flaws, but I just need some helpful spiritual principles to get me through. No. If you want God, all of God, full, high octane, 100 degrees, everything that he has, there's something new that happens, a total abandonment of everything it was, a brand new beginning. By and away, the number one objection or number one question we've dealt with around here for the last 10 years, which our 10-year anniversary, that was pretty fun last week, wasn't it? Yeah, that's pretty fun. We have people all in this church who are all over the place in terms of your spiritual orientation. And that's one of the great things about our church. We don't assume that you believe anything or you are in any specific place. It's wonderful. But one of the major question objection we've gotten is, are you saying that Jesus is the only way? See, we look at a verse like this, and we immediately think that, hold on, who gets to heaven, who gets the pass? And doesn't it sound awful and just kind of close-minded to say that Jesus is the only way? And, you know, for the purpose of today, I'm not talking about that question. I'm not talking about that issue today. I'm just not. And when you say, you know, aren't all religions, aren't all spiritualities really the same? In context of what I'm saying today, yes, they are. Yes, they are. All religions, all spiritualities, including the form of Christian religion that many of us know, is exactly the same. Because the way religions and spiritualities work is this. Let me take you as who you are, and let me just layer on to you some things you must do to be accepted. Let me take your current beliefs, all you are, and let me just layer on some things you've got to work a little harder. See, the lies that we've uncovered, the things we've believed about ourselves over the last 3 weeks, those things will fit into any religion or any spiritual system. So if I believe that I don't measure up, well, you know what? That'll fit any religion, any spirituality I go to. So I just go to this one, and I try to measure up. And the more I try to measure up, the better I get on the outside. And then when I die, the better life form I come up against. I come back to be. Or the more I try, the more I try. If I attain some level of not having too many sins and enough good things, and then God likes me and lets me into heaven, according to some interpretations of Christianity. Or if you think, you know, I'm independent or whatever it is, you can take the thing that's worked for you, the thing that you have been taken on as your identity, and you can work that in any religion, any spiritual system. You can. You can work that. And you can use it. But only Jesus, the true message of the scriptures, ever says, it's not about what you do, it's about what I do. And I will give you a brand new identity. Buddha never says, I will give you my identity. You can have who I am. Gandhi never says that, never claims that. But Jesus says, look, I am going to give you, I will make available to you a brand new identity, a new you, something new. And it's got to be something you can't control, and you must be born again. Something happens you can't control. And he knows that Nicodemus is not digging this. So he tries to tease it out a little bit more. And so in verse 6, he says this. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You must. You shouldn't be surprised by this. Flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. We all know the saying, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here's what's happening, what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you want what your own natural abilities can get, you can have what your own natural abilities can get. That's what flesh is. In the scriptures, flesh is our own natural abilities. Flesh is what I can do on my own. Flesh is my natural inclinations. Flesh is my own abilities. So, flesh, my abilities, will give birth to what my abilities can give me. Flesh, my trying will get me what my trying can get. Spirit, though, spirit can only, and it's capital S there, spirit can only give birth to spirit. God can only give birth to God. So in our lives, if we want all of what God can give us, only God can give us that and birth that in us. Our abilities, our trying can't give that. And one of the reasons why many of us will never get the new identity, you'll never get the new birth, you'll never get the new power, is because you're working pretty well on your flesh. Because some of us in here have prime grade A Jeff Ruby precinct flesh. We do. We've got really good flesh. And some of us have stinky 10-day-old Big Mac flesh. It's just natural. I mean, really, have you ever noticed that? Like some of us, there's something about us, we're just better. Some people you see, they're just better. They're more disciplined. And they say they're going to do something, they do it. They're not prone to addictions. And if things just kind of fall for them, they eat a whole bag of cheese curls and they don't gain any weight. And the other folks, it's like, man, and you know, I eat one potato chip and I get a zit that pops off out of nowhere, and I have one, you know, one cigarette, and all of a sudden I'm addicted. I can't let it go, and I say I'm going to do this, and I don't do it. And yet I know these other people that have this great flesh. They say they're going to do these New Year's resolutions, and they're still doing them. It is true. Some of us have better flesh than others. Some of us have better natural abilities than other ability, but still, whatever your natural abilities are, they will only give birth to what your natural abilities will bring about. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, you know, if you want what yourself can give you, keep working your old lies. Keep working your system. Keep working your identity. But if you want something God can only give you, there's got to be something that happens that you can't control, that happens from above, where something, poof, just happens to you. There's a lot of people. They do not have the new identity, but they look like they have the new identity, but they don't. A lot of us in here, we look really good, good spiritual creatures, but we don't have the new identity. We just have an improved version of our old identity. Just because something flies doesn't mean it's a bird. Just because something swims doesn't mean it's a fish. Just because something emits odors doesn't mean it's a skunk. I mean, you emit odors, right? Some people feel safe when they're in large crowds because you don't know where exactly it came from, you know? You just... And by the way, you know what I'm saying? God has a sense of humor. I mean, He created that. That's the amazing thing. He created that. That's just amazing that He what, really? Yeah, absolutely. We laugh because God laughs at that. And He's got a sense of humor. No question He does. Really. You can fly an uppy bird. You can swim and up be a fish. But a bird has got to take on an entirely new identity to come to be a fish. And you have to take on an entirely new identity to become a child of God. Now, I know I'm starting to if I start to tick you off, or you start to get really upset here, I know I'm starting to communicate well. Because if you really get this, this is so ridiculous. This is so countercultural, so counterflesh, so counter everything. That is why the words of Jesus are so radical and so life-giving. All of us in here are children of God in the sense that everybody in the whole world is loved by God. Everybody is cared for by God. Everybody is created in the image of God. But the scriptures make it very clear that you or some people become a child of God and others don't. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, to as many who have received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. There is a receiving, there is a new birth, there is a new identity that comes. And when that happens, you become a child of God. How do you receive this? Well, some people say you have to say a certain prayer. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say, if you say this prayer, you can have the new identity. Nowhere to say that. Some people say, well, if you kind of come down front and walk the aisle of a church, you can, you know, be born again. Nowhere in the scriptures is anybody in a building and they come walking down an aisle and they get that. Some people will say, well, you know, first you've got to have some baptism thing happen. Nowhere in the scriptures is anybody ever baptized and then say, okay, God, now you got it. Now, all these are good. It's good to say prayers. It's good to come down aisles if it's, you know, it's right. It's good to be baptized, all those things. But those things, there's no formula anywhere in scripture for how you get the new identity. It's something that's received. It just happens. It's sometimes you sit in some place and you go, my goodness. Sometimes there's a prayer you do. Sometimes I have a guy, a friend of mine, a few months ago. You know how he received? He's watching Dukes of Hazzard. He was watching Dukes of Hazzard. Now I haven't watched the latest one because I don't need to fill my mind with Daisy Duke images. But he was watching Dukes of Hazzard, and I don't know, really, something clicked in. I don't know what the scene was because I haven't seen the movie. But something clicked. All of a sudden, went, you know what? I believe this stuff all of a sudden. He was like, all of a sudden he was overwhelmed by this thing and life has been on a completely different trajectory. To those who receive, who have this passive thing that happens because they want to receive, there is this new identity. There's all these things that come with being a child of God. Around this building, you'll see there are these little keypads by various doors. You can punch in your code and you get access to certain rooms. And depending on what your role is around here as a volunteer, as a staff person, you can get different access to different rooms. And my kids, I've given them my code, which is 666. That's my code. So they can... No, that's not my code. That's not my code. But it's a four-letter code. It's a four-letter code. And I've done that. And what that means is they get to go everywhere that I can go, which is everywhere. I have full access to go any place in this place I want to go. And when I go into a room, I have access to a room. I can have and use anything in that room. If I want to use the stereo in that room, there's this one room I go to that I try to get my mind sometimes before services or between services, recuperate emotionally. And there's like a little trail mix in there. They go in that room, they get the trail mix. They have my code. As my children, they have rights that are afforded them. They have abilities that are afforded to them as a result of who they are, who they know, who they've received, that is now part of their identity that gives them things that they wouldn't have in their natural abilities. This is what this means. When you receive this new identity that God makes available, there are whole worlds that open up for you. Things that you could have never imagined happening because as a child, there are new things you have that are born in you as of the Spirit. And what do you have to do? Receive. Receive. You don't work your morality. You don't work your prayer life. You don't work the this, you know, you know. You receive. And the fullness of God replaces your old identity with His identity. You receive. There's this thing that happens where the Spirit confers the Spirit. There's this third member of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes and takes up residence inside of you and you receive. And when God looks at you, He doesn't see you. He sees His Son. He sees perfection. He sees holiness. He sees this new. And what do you have to do? You receive. What's the catch? There's no catch. One of the lies in our culture, if it's too good to be true, it's not true. Which is true for telemarketers. That's always true with telemarketers. But God is not too good to be true. You understand what I'm saying here? When you receive God, independent of anything that's ever happened to you, anything you're doing right now, anything you ever will do, there is a brand new identity with this power that comes to you that is remarkable, stunning. This is how you get a new identity. This is where life just takes off. Now, I know that, I hope you hear me, and I hope you don't believe me, because if you don't believe me again, if you don't believe me, then you hear me. You understand me. Just so you know, I'm not making this stuff up. I've just surveyed a few passages. I don't have time for all of them. Just a few of these that come from the Scriptures for you to think about and, you know, process. Here's one, right here. Hebrews 2, 11 to 12. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Jesus calls you a brother. He calls you a sister. He doesn't call you my servant slave. Why is that? Because you, if you receive this, have been made holy. It's not like you work to become holy, which means pure, distinct, set apart. You are made holy. And you're of the same family. You understand that? You're of the same, you're a child of God, you're of the same DNA as Jesus. And you're called holy. Holy. You're made holy. Boom! New identity. Bam! Holy. You understand what this verse is saying and others I'm going to show you? It means that you are as holy and as righteous as Mother Teresa. You're as holy and righteous as Billy Graham. You're as holy and righteous as me, which isn't that big of a deal. You are as holy and righteous as Jesus. And when we believe that I'm not that, if I've received this new identity, we're falling into a trap to try to work our old lives and our old flesh that only brings us death and frustration. Here's another one. We have been made holy. You've been made holy. Not like we are going to be holy in the future when we have pie in the sky and we die. No, you have been made, past tense, when you receive, you've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus. Through the sacrifice of Jesus' death on the cross. Him taking on all the old identity, all the old faults, nailing it to the cross. As a result of you receiving all that He's done, you've been made holy. Here's another one. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Again, it is because of Him, because of His work, because of His really measuring up, because of His dependence on God, you're in Jesus Christ. You're in. Like this means my whole identity is cloaked in this. My identity, I am in Jesus. Jesus is around me. I am in that. In a sense, I possess divinity because divinity lives in me. I am not divine in my natural self. I'm not divine because I'm human. We're all one. We're all divine. No, we're not. But when I receive this, there is this spirit that takes residence up in me and I am a possessor of divinity. It's why Jesus talks about being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Old temple, old physical temple is irrelevant because new temple is people who receive this new identity. And we're temples, walking, living, breathing temples. And He's become for us wisdom. He's become our righteousness, our holiness. All this done already has. Here's another one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. New creation, new identity. The old is gone. The new has come. The old stuff is gone. It's totally irrelevant. You know what right now? The Thrive Lines. Put the stinking Thrive Lines away. Stop looking at those dots in the bottom. We had 3 weeks looking at it. It's been good. It's been healthy at this point. But come to the point and say, no, that's old. Okay, enough. It helps me understand, but that's gone. Those things do not define who I am. I can understand myself a little bit more with those things, but those things are not me. They don't define me. The old is gone. The new, if you get the new identity, has come. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Here's another one. In His great mercy, He's given us a new birth into a living hope. Man, this is, you understand what this is saying? Given. Not you've done this and so therefore I'm giving you that. Not, this is not spiritual capitalism. You do this and I'll give you that. You don't do that and I'll give you, no. In His great mercy, given us a new birth, living hope, living hope. When you have this new identity, when you have this power inside of you as who you are, and you have access to things that you didn't have access to before, that's where hope is. Hope in the Scriptures is not this optimistic, oh, things will all get better. Well, maybe they won't. Maybe we're going to have another terrorist attack. It's going to happen sometime. So this kind of hope is not, oh, no, we won't. I just hope it's never going to happen again. No, we'll have another one sometime. We will. But hope is, when you have this new identity, you say, no matter what it is, I will overcome because I have greatness residing in me. I have this identity that is God Himself, and I am a treasured child of His. I am important to Him. Here's another one. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, the wearing of David Ehrman jewelry, and fine clothes. If you have that beauty, that's wonderful. That's not really where it comes from. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. What does that mean? It means when you've received this new identity, you already have a natural inner beauty. It's not like you have to build your character. Character counts, and as I build my character, therefore I'm internally beauty. No, you have it. You have it. You already have this internal beauty. Let it out. Let it be unleashed. Live who you really are in your new identity. And don't do what the flesh does, which is keep trying to hide the zits on our flesh and keep trying to put nice braids and, you know, nice 20-inch biceps on our flesh. So that's not where our beauty should come from. Not the outer. It's this inward thing that God has done inside of us. It's naturally beautiful. Let it out. Let it be seen. Walk in fullness and freedom. Okay, here's another one. Am I giving you too many? Are you getting the picture here yet? See, this is not like a little, oh, okay, I guess you're reading into that. No, they go on and on and on. Here's one. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's not me living according to my old identity and all the things I used to get with my old bracelet. I don't live. I don't work those systems anymore. It's now Jesus who lives in me. I'll take His life and His power. He lives in me and He empowers me to do the things that I need to do. This doesn't mean that when you receive the new identity, this is one of the things that happens, by the way. To keep you from really receiving the new identity, you will forecast forward of why this would be a bad thing to receive. So you think, some of us who have kind of more type A, we think, oh, this can't be it, because then I'll just be a slacker. I won't do anything. No, Christ lives in you, and Jesus lives. No one could look at His life and say He was a slacker. But it's not me trying to live to impress people or earn worth before God. It's I allowed Jesus to use me in doing my quarterly report, use me in meeting my sales goals, use me in stopping and telling the person I work with that I care about him. And so I just allow that to be sort of unleashed inside of me. And it's Him. It's His power that starts to work inside of me. And you go, how do you do this? That's why we have 2 more weeks for this. All right. Here's another one. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died. This doesn't mean ongoing, you kind of keep trying to grow and improve and eliminate all your bad habits. This means before God, as God looks at you, your old identity, your old things, your old lies, dead. They're gone. They really are gone. They're really gone. You died. Brian version 1.0. Brian with all the things, it's died. To God, it is dead. It is over and over. And my life is now hidden hidden with Christ. That is my identity is all the greatness of Jesus. My identity is all the things that He's done. My identity is all the power that He can do. And what I'm supposed to do is set my mind on that. Set my mind on things above, not on earthly things. Not on things that I can manage in the flesh right now. About a year ago, a year or so ago, I did a message on prayer. And it was called, I called it imaginative prayer. And you can actually go on the website if you want to hear it. It's all about what it means to set your mind on things above. What does it mean for us to have an imagination? Why do we have an imagination? You know, all the things that we have are things that God gave us, natural abilities. Why, this imagination, why is it that we have the greatest multimedia sound system, visual system, Dolby surround sound, 3D thing in our mind? Why is that? Why do we have that here? You know why? Because that's one of the ways that God communicates with us. It's one of the things we're supposed to think through. Set our minds on things above. There's a passage in the Bible where it talks about, let's approach the throne of grace. What does that mean? It means I have this image. Okay, I'm going to kind of go to God. We need to use our brain, and use our imagination as a way to communicate with God and allow God to communicate with us. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time doing today. Okay? We need to use these ID tags here. I'm going to take that out if you'd like to. If you want to use this. If you don't want to do this exercise, that's cool. If you do, this has been very helpful for me over the last few days. This has on it John 1:12, which is, to as many as have received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. And this is my identity. This is what this is. When I receive that, I put that on, this becomes my identity. And all the things that come with my identity, the identity of Christ, all those things are me. All of those things. You know, let's just pause for a minute and give someone else a chance to receive. If you want the new identity, you don't have to have all the theological implications worked out. You don't have to have all that. All I have is goes, you know, I have a lot to figure out, but I'd like that identity. I'd like to receive. I'd like to become a child. I'd like to receive, and I'd like everything to be gone. And God, in some way, if you'd visit me right now, I just want to receive. And if you want to receive, you can receive. God, there's a lot of soon-to-be children in here. And there's a lot of children who've forgotten who they are. We want to receive you right now, those of us who are in that place.
Stand here speechless with no great words to say. If my silence is more truthful and my ears can hear how to walk in your way, in the silence you are speaking, in the quiet I can feel the fire and it's burning, burning deeply, burning all that you desire to be silent.
To you, just if you want to say, God, I receive, and just put it on, put this on. That'd be helpful for you. It's my identity. This is what I want my identity to be. These dog tags. If you have dog tags and you're in the field of battle and you go down, the way they know who you are is they look at these and they know what your identity is. No matter what you say, you got these dog tags on. This is who you are. And it doesn't matter how you feel in the moment, through what you say, this is our identity. Now sometimes it's really helpful for us in different seasons of our journey with God to think about things that come with our new identity. To think about some of the things that we get in specific rooms that we travel through life, and to highlight those. I put a bunch of scriptures up there that gives a bunch of adjectives for what comes with the new identity. And that's not all of them. There are adjectives up there like holy, righteous, brother, all kinds. There's hundreds and hundreds of more. And so if this would be something that would be meaningful to you, just go out and take out a Sharpie. Take out a Sharpie and get ready to write something on here that is part of your identity that you need to be reminded of and to grab onto, just to get your thinking right. Let me tell you something happened with me recently. I come from a family that obviously loved me very much from all they've done for me. But as a child who was trying to measure up, I would have loved to have had more words of affirmation spoken to me to make me sure that I knew I was accepted. And maybe it was part of what was started or pulled out in that painting the soapbox derby when my dad had touched it up because it wasn't good enough. I didn't measure up. Or maybe it was any number of things. But what started to bother me a number of years ago was when I noticed that friends of mine would get cards from their parents, and there would be maybe a couple sentences handwritten on the bottom of the stock Hallmark card saying how much they were thankful for that person or whatever. And I start seeing that, I start going, oh man, I'd love to have one of those sometime. And then I just start getting angry that I never got one of those. I'd just get the stock card and just dad or mom and dad. And I just had to learn that regardless of what affirmation I didn't get from my parents, I knew that as my identity, God said to me, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he says to people like you who receive new identity, this is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. It's part of your identity. It's part of who you are. And so this last week, I've been wearing this around for the last few days just to test out what it would be like if I recommended people wear these for the rest of the journey, which I am recommending if you want to do that. Just wear it. You kind of feel it. You kind of notice it, you know. One of my kids had a birthday this last week, and my parents sent him a card. And there was three sentences in the bottom of it, handwritten. And Libby saw this. She said, oh, look what Grandma did for you. She wrote this thing. And kids were like, what? What are you talking about? And I wish in that moment I would have really celebrated that and just said, oh. But my first reaction was, why have I not gotten that? Why am I not? And as soon as I noticed that, you know what I did? I went, I just felt this. This is my identity. I wrote on here in that Sharpie, accepted and affirmed son. You can write something on here and you might have to use a abbreviation. But God, use our minds right now. Use the images in our minds to help us to know what it is that we need to write to be reminded of part of our identity. If you sense something God-like would be affirming and something that's true to the new identity, go ahead and write that down. Don't wipe it too soon, it'll smear. And just take advantage of this moment. Righteous, holy, loved, worthy, able, cherished, capable, powerful. Now, let's go to some places that you might not have been to for a while. Let's take that identity and let's go into some of our wounds. Let's go into some of our hurts. Let's go into some of the old places that need healed up. God, would you bring to our mind a place that shaped our previous identity? I'm right now in my basement, my old basement. I can see the newspapers on top of the washing machine with a car that's just been repainted by my dad. And I see the door from the garage open up and I see Jesus coming in. I see him coming in and he puts his arm around me. And he says in a loving way right to my dad's face, "Hey, it was good. It was good. This is my brother. This is God's son in whom he's well pleased. He measures up." God, take us there right now. Allow us to encounter you. See chains that just break. Chains, shackles break, fall off. You might, some of you in here, you've got these burdens, you've been carrying around these burdens that were part of your old identity, and those burdens aren't your burdens, they're God's burdens. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy, my yoke is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And he comes up and he says, "That's enough of that. That's enough. We're taking that off. Part of the old you, not the new you." Others of us, there's just filth in our mind. There's angst. There's unforgiveness. There's just clutter. It just gets swept away. It just drops off. Drops off your mind, on your shoulders. Gets flicked off like dandruff all over the floor. It's irrelevant. Gone. Old stuff. News come. God, do this for us right now. God, this reason, this new identity is where hope lies. Bring us your hope.